This is The Grad Perspective, where fresh voices in sports media and business take to the mic. We often hear from the veterans, the industry giants decades into their career, but what about those just breaking in? I'm your host, Kira Johnston, and each episode, I sit down with a Holmes Glen graduate who is making their mark in the industry. If you're chasing a career in sport or just want to know what it really looks like, you're in the right place. Honest conversations, real experiences, stories that inspire the next wave.
Patrick Cripps, you go, oh wow, AFL record on prelim final week. You know, mornings with Tom Elliott, afternoons with Tony Moclair, and drive with Jackie Felger. The headline's probably the most important part. Satisfaction, when it just blows up.
Today, I'm joined by Ethan Daffy, digital content producer at Nine Radio and co-host of The Baggers Chat. Welcome, Ethan.
Oh, it's great to be here, the first guest. It's a privilege, as I was saying before we recorded, but yeah, it's fantastic to be here.
You get the honours. How does it feel to be the first person in the seat?
Yeah, it's fantastic. You know, being back at Holmes Glen's great. It gives you kind of a lot of memories and a lot of flashbacks and seeing people you haven't seen in a while. So yeah, it's great.
You're not meant to talk off mic, but we did have a little chat before we joined the mic and you spoke about getting on the train.
Yep.
What memories come back to you?
Yeah, there's just something about, I don't know, like I think, you know, when you go through high school and primary school and you go back to your old footy grounds and all that kind of memories come back. So I almost forgot to get off at Holmes Glen because it had been a while. I was just on my phone and then I, you know, jumped out of my seat and yeah, had to get off quickly. But yeah, it's good to be here.
Did you ever do that when you were coming to Holmes Glen?
I'd imagine so, once or twice. Yeah.
And then, but not today.
Not today. It was a very important moment.
We love that. I love that you call this important. That's very, very nice of you. Now, in the industry, we love a good elevator pitch. So I'm going to start every episode with each guest asking them to give us their elevator pitch. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah. So I guess throughout my life, I've always had the, you know, interest of sports and media, obviously sports since a kid. And then when I probably got into, you know, year 7 and 8, I started to see a lot of, you know, Instagram pages pop up. I'm sure a lot of people have made Instagram pages, whether it's sport or, you know, music or whatever. But yeah, I just looked at, you know, graphics and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, I want to do that, you know, and I started on my iPad in year 7 or 8 and thought, you know, they were pretty bad at the start. I'm sure we all try the things at the start. And it was just, you know, gradually getting better and better and better. And then obviously my love of Carlton made me create a page, Carlton FC Daily, which is, sorry for the plug, but yeah, I still use through our podcast as well. And yeah, and then it just gradually got bigger and bigger. And then once I got to about year 11 or 12, I didn't know what to do. And then I saw the sports media course here at Holmes Glen and, you know, looked through it and how hands-on it was and all the things really ticked the boxes for me. And then, yeah, it was just fantastic. I had the interview with Sam Duncan, who I'm sure everyone knows, and, you know, how positive he is and such a great advocate of this course. So, yeah, that's my story.
We actually never met at uni. We never crossed paths at Holmes Glen. I know you through your Carlton pages.
Yeah.
It's a sad time to be a Carlton supporter.
Yes, it is.
But where did you start? Did you start on Canva, on Photoshop?
Yeah, I was Photoshop straight away.
Oh, so you were really going for it.
Yeah, so I think it was like some app on, it was like a lighter version of Photoshop, and then obviously got gradually better and better onto the laptop version. And yeah, I guess that's, you know, a main reason why I've had the experience I've had the last probably 5 or 6 years getting into places, because I think graphic design's very, it's like a niche.
It's very niche
and it's a weird niche to start off with. I think I've spoken to a lot of people about it and they go like, how are you good at Photoshop and, you know, other stuff you might not be as good at? Like, it's a weird to start on that way. But yeah, it's a passion of mine. I still do it a lot, graphic design, a part of my job. I sometimes add it to my job as well at the moment. Like, yeah, you just want to make, you know, have a bit of time, you know, being creative. So yeah, I really, really love it. It's a passion of mine. And even sometimes when I'm got a bit of, you know, time on a holiday and I've got my laptop, I just want to do something design wise. So yeah.
You know you're in the right spot when you're pulling out your laptop to design something on a holiday.
Yeah, exactly right.
You're definitely on the right path. So you have that meeting with Sam. You joined Holmes Glen. What was your journey like here?
No, it was fantastic. I think the best part about it is having, you know, lecturers who have the experience and have the knowledge, and you can ask them questions, and sometimes they can, you know, pull you in a little bit if you, you know, because coming from high school, I was a little bit of a larrikin, and, you know, sometimes it pulls you in and matures you a lot. It matured me a lot. I'm definitely a different person than I was, you know, 3-4 years ago. So, no, it was fantastic from the start. You know, like I said before, the hands-on stuff is huge. I've got a lot of friends who are at uni and they seem to struggle to really get invested because they have, you know, they have the option to do it from online or, you know, have massive classes of 60 people in a lecture where
the lecturer doesn't even know their name.
Yeah, exactly right, where you have personal, actual relationships with these people, which is fantastic. So, yeah, have a lot of friends from here, still connect with them, you know, outside of work and other stuff. So, yeah.
And the internship experience is a massive part of the Holmes Glen degrees. Can you talk to me through that experience?
Oh, it was crucial. It's crucial in the job I have now. So I started at SEN, so that was through Holmes Glen. I think it was, would have been 4 or 5 months in their digital team. It was a bit of graphic design stuff, a bit of writing for their pages, bit of stuff for the AFL record, which is cool. You know, I was going, wow, like as a kid.
Don't know that SEN owns the AFL record.
I think someone came up to me and goes, oh, do you want to write this page on the, I think it was the draftees or whatever. And I was going, oh, for what? Like just their website. And they went, AFL record on prelim final week. I'm going, you know, in my head, I'm going, you know, $5 footy records. You know, when you walk to the ground.
How good's this?
Yeah. I was going, this is fantastic. And I remember showing my parents and, you know, they were very proud because obviously they're big AFL fans. But yeah, SEN was fantastic. And there's so many, like the thing about SEN, it's you've got so many connections in terms of, you know, there was some days where I went in the studio just to see what they were up to, the producers and stuff like that. And I still have connections with a lot of those people, you know, bump into them, you know, when I'm at AW at the moment. And my second internship was at Melbourne United. So I'm a big basketball fan as well, which at first I was a little bit, oh, you know, I'm walking amongst, you know, Chris Goldings and stuff like that. But, oh, seriously, that was massive for me. Just eye-opening, just how much access you get working in sport. And I'm sure a lot of people who will be on this podcast will speak about it, just the access. And I think it was longer than I expected it was going to be. So it was from about October to game 5 of the NBL Grand Finals. Unfortunately, we lost. But just being amongst them and having, they gave me the opportunity to design their grand final, like finals, what do you call it?
Graphics
banners. Yeah. Like their whole, like the t-shirts and I think it was We Unite, which is what they still use. And I kind of look at it when I go to games, like, oh, that's cool. Like I kind of came up with
that. That was me.
I don't want to have the full credit, but.
Take the credit. Yeah,
and that was just fantastic, you know, seeing it on the, you know, the Jumbotron at the stadium and all the graphics. And yeah, it was very, very cool. And in terms of the internships, I think for people who haven't got there yet, it's so crucial to have the connections because at SEN, my boss Lawrence at the moment at 3AW, I didn't really know him at SEN. He was in the same office, but by the end of my course, I got a random call from a random number and it was him. And he goes, oh, we've got an opportunity, just a casual digital producer kind of role in our socials and our website. And I was like, oh, you know, you don't think much of it. You go, okay, I'll have a chat. And now I'm here, you know, at 3AW because of him and he's still my boss. So it's just crucial to have the connections because you don't know how far it can take you.
How cool. Like everyone's interconnected. I remember, I'll give Simone a shout out. I remember day one of uni, Simone said, you might not like everyone in your class, but one day one of these people will be your boss. So don't burn any bridges early. 100%. And it's so true. Like you just said, you hardly knew him at SEN and now he got a job for you.
Oh, it's huge. It's it is crazy. I did speak to him about it a few weeks ago. Like what was the reason why you called me? And he did say the reason was to kind of, I think at SEN we were in trade period and I kind of came up with an idea. I'm big into my Guernsey swaps and I know how people love seeing a, you know, a trade option, you know, in a Carlton jumper. I'm a Carlton Nuffy, you know, we love it. And you go, oh, you know, there's Adam Sard when he was coming in a Carlton jumper. You go, that looks cool as. So I came up with that idea and that's kind of why he brought me in, I think, because of the ideas I brought in and kind of putting myself out there. Even if they say no to it, why not ask them?
Well, I tell you, SEN are definitely still rolling with that idea because I saw Jack Silvani in a Collingwood jumper yesterday. So they're definitely still rolling with that idea. Take me back to you've just graduated. So the day after graduation, you're now a very, very small fish in a big pond. What were those feelings like?
It's always a bit daunting. I think it's similar to the end of high school where sometimes you don't know what you're going to do. Some people do, some people don't. But yeah, luckily, you know, with my kind of extended internship at Melbourne United, I still had a couple months there once I graduated. So I had a bit of time to kind of think about what I needed to do. Do I take an opportunity there or do I have further opportunities? But just due to my experience, I was quite confident just due to the experience we get at Holmes Glen and the hands-on and all the people you know. So I was confident, of course. There's negativity and, you know, the birdie on your shoulders going, oh, you get a job. Do you need to get another job in another industry while you wait? But luckily enough, the phone call came through at the perfect time.
You speak about that little birdie. Mm-hmm. You said you were confident, but how do you make that little birdie just shh?
Yeah, it's sometimes tough, just in life in general, not just at for uni and jobs wise. But yeah, sometimes I think, you know, the work I've put in the 3 years here gave me confidence that I can go to the next level in terms of a job. So that's what I think of. And if people are struggling with that, I think that's the way to think about it. You know, just you've done the 3 years, you've graduated. That's the hard part.
Yep.
That's the hard part. Of course, you know, the getting the job is hard as well. But it's the confidence in your work. Like you look at it in sport, you know, the best teams go, we're confident on game day because we've put in the work in the preseason. You know, there's other teams that were struggling. But when you go 3 years, And you do the work, that's why the little birdie was quite quiet on my shoulder.
I love that so much. That is great advice for anyone listening. Like, we're in sports media. We're in sports business. Just act like a sports team.
100%.
Put in the work and you'll be all right. You mentioned earlier on in the episode the friends you made at Holmes Glen and throughout all different avenues of your life. It's a really interesting career because you make lots of friends, but you're also competing against them for the jobs. How do you work around that?
Yeah, it's interesting. A few of my mates are at a podcast studio now. I think it's Roland Media, who they're both there now, which is funny. But yeah, I did think about that when I graduated. I was going, you know, we have a group chat and someone goes, oh, they send through a job, but I'm going, do I send the job through so they beat me to the job? You know,
or do I just keep it in my pocket?
Yeah, of course. I'm, you know, trying to be nice as well and the equal opportunity. But yeah, it is an interesting industry, like you said. It's a niche, I would say. And then it's even more of a niche if there's a certain job, whether it's digital producing, graphic design, all sorts of stuff. Journos, it's so interesting. And I think the best part about it is I think everyone has unique skill sets. So I think with my mates, you know, there's a lot of video editing and writing, and then I'm with the graphics, and it's all different things that separate us. So it kind of made it a little bit easier in terms of the competitive side. Of course, you want to beat them to a job, but it's great that now we all have a job in the industry.
Some mushrooms here and there, allegedly, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. We love our friends. We love supporting them. So we see rapidly changing industry. It changes every single day. What has been the biggest shift you've seen since you left uni to today, and what do you think will change in the future?
Yeah, like you said, it changes every month, I feel. It's changed every few weeks, I reckon, I'm at AW in terms of what we need to prioritise, whether it's through socials or video. You know, social media is massive and it's been massive for a while, but it changes, doesn't it? It seems to change, and I'm sure people look at their feeds and go, why is that company doing that now? And why is that company doing that? And you have inspiration from other stations. You know, we have rival stations, you know, Triple M's and ABC's, but you kind of, in a sense, you look at it and you go, they're all kind of trending in the right direction, doing the same things. So yeah, it does change a lot. Like I said, at AW, it's, with us, you know, and our digital team has expanded quite big. We've got two full-timers. I'm part-time at the moment, but we've got a few other casuals, and it was much bigger than initially when I got there. And it was due to the prioritisation of, you know, social media, and because AW is quite an old-fashioned station, and we want to use our social media to promote our stuff, and it's worked in a very good way. And like you said, that's why the media industry and, you know, social media has changed so much.
100%. You mentioned the complete oversaturation of social media. Everyone is posting these days, and you know, working in radio stations, we both do. There's rivals, you know, here, there, and everywhere. How do you not just copy? Because I find this really interesting in myself. Yeah. You're scrolling through, I mean, I don't know about you, I'm an absolute phone addict.
Yeah, same.
I am on Instagram at all times. And you always are taking pieces from here, there, and everywhere to give you inspiration for posts. But it is sometimes difficult to then not just accidentally, you're not even meaning it, just accidentally copy. How do you work around that?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, you go, oh, that looks really good, I want to do that. But I think in a team at 3AW, we have a certain plan. And then it's a lot of it's quality over quantity, because we feel with rival stations, sometimes they might push out a lot of content too much. And we don't really want to get to that stage, because we have great talent. You know, we have Caroline Wilsons and, you know, Lee Matthews and Tim Lanes and, you know, Sam McClure's and Jimmy Bartels, Matthew Lloyds.
What a queen is Caro, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic person. Great to know her, by the way. But it's because their stuff is so good, the quality. You want to make sure it's, you know, you're not putting out too much stuff that it gets lost. So, yeah, it's hard to copy, but it's, you know, we have our unique kind of, you know, taste and touch on things.
I love that. You mentioned the big names then. Talk us through, you start at 3AW, you're mixing with idols, you're mixing with people that you, as a little boy, have looked up to. How do you get around that and how do you view it now?
Oh, it's crazy. I remember my first day, it was actually at the G. So my first shift was at the G in the AW box, and it was Matthew Lloyd and Tim Lanes. And I was thinking about Tim Lane the other day. Like, as a kid, his voice was that, like, Channel 10 commentator, and he's such a fantastic person. But yeah, it's been crazy to work with these people. It's fantastic. And getting to know them personally is even better because, you know, when you're younger, you put them up on a pedestal, even footballers. You know, I'm a big Carlton supporter, Patrick Cripps, you go, oh, wow. But now if I see a player like that in the rooms, it's just a normal guy. Of course, I love him extra. But yeah, working with guys like, you know, every Sunday I'm working with Tony Shaw, obviously Collingwood legend, and Matthew Richardson, Richo's on Channel 7 a lot. And yeah, it's just fantastic to speak to people like that and get their personal thoughts on things off air as well. Like, you might hear a lot of their things that everyone gets to hear, but you know, the personal side, you know, them talking about
the
personal
little tidbits
you get. Yeah. You know, you might get a little bit of, you know, their sources are telling them this and that, and you know, and just their personal lives, like, you know, getting to know what they're up to in their personal lives, their family, their travels, you know. So yeah, it's at first you're a little bit like hesitant, but now I've got to the point now that I'm confident with them all.
I love that. I think we're in an industry that is very glamorized. People sit at home and want to have a job in the industry. And don't get me wrong, it is a great industry to work with. But there is lots of misconceptions about the sports media industry. I'll help you out. I'll go first.
Yeah.
I had two. One is that, like, they genuinely are not ready to go on air until 2 minutes before on air.
Yes.
I remember when I started in the industry, it really stressed me out because the hosts wouldn't even be in the room and we're going on air in a minute.
Yeah.
That was one. And two is how much money is in the industry. Crazy. There is not as much money as people think there are. What are some misconceptions that you've been debunked?
That's a big one for me, the money. We had a meeting at the start of the year. It was with everyone. So it was all the commentators, all the talent, digital team, 3AW footy. And like, they had the sponsor guy come in and he had this, you know, on the screen, like this slideshow of, you know, which sponsors are coming on, because radio, it's huge. You know, you got the, you know, the Chemist Warehouse scoreboards and, you know, brought to you by Unibet. And I didn't realize how much money, because you just don't know. And I think at our age, we tend to, before we get into radio, we don't think much of radio. Like, I didn't think much of radio. Of course, I know what's going on with Triple M's and because of socials, but being amongst it, I go, how much money is going into this and how much people, another one is how many people are behind the scenes. Like, we've got, so on a game day, we've got a producer, and then we've got a tech operator, and we've got another tech operator in the studio. So doing all the sounds, you see, you know, when you go, let's go to this clip of Craig McRae's press conference, someone's in the studio, and then you've got me, digital producing, and then you've got the talent, and then two other people, and then you've got the head of footy, who sometimes is making the calls as well. That really just was like, wow. And it's similar with the midweek show sometimes I work on in terms of the general news stuff. That really opened my eyes in terms of how much work they put in to get a show, a 3-hour show, ready. Because especially with those shows, the general news is that there's so many things happening. You know, obviously the footy world's busy as well, but there's, you know, politics and, you know, protests, as we saw on the weekend, and getting things ready for the next day or right now. You got 10 minutes, something just happened.
Get it ready.
You know, someone just got sacked. I'd imagine with Goodwin yesterday, a lot of shows, rundown sheets would have just changed because of what happened.
100%. There would have been producers all around the country ripping up their rundown sheets when Goodwin got sacked. It is really crazy, isn't it? That shook me as well, how many people work behind the scenes. I can't watch TV the same. I can't listen to radio the same, because you're enjoying it. You're driving in your car, you're at a red light, you're listening to two hosts, you know, have a yap, and you don't think about the 20 people behind the scenes that have been up since 5 a.m. making those rundowns.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me is when I've gone into working at the footy, so every weekend I work at the footy and get in the rooms and seeing not even just the radio people, the TV people. Like, there's an interview with two people, you know, you got, you know, I don't know, it might be BT and Cripps, right? Two of them, and then there's a cameraman, there's a makeup artist, there's a guy with lights. It's like seven people behind the camera, and on TV you're just going, okay, it's just the cameraman and, you know, two people. The amount of work they put in, and I've actually spoken to a few of them sometimes when I'm in the rooms, just going, like, how much work do you, like, how much does it take to set up those sorts of programs, and yeah, it's craziness.
Like a mega beast.
Yeah, it's huge. Jackie, who's a boundary rider for us, is
Jackie
the producer.
Reed.
Jackie Reed.
Agenda
yeah.
setters.
Yeah, she is. And another thing that caught out to me is how much thinking she does, like during the weekend. Like we might do an interview with a player, and she goes, "Okay, can you send me that footage that you took on your phone so we can use it on the show?" So yeah, that's really opened my eyes, and she's also told me a lot of things behind the scenes. I'll talk about that on here, but yeah, it's really fantastic to hear what she has to say.
Jackie is very good at her job. Yeah, she crosses over between both of our yeah. our workplaces. She always comes in on a Monday morning and says, "Oh, I heard this while I was doing boundary, and I heard this." So you're absolutely yep. on the money. She's always working. We mentioned you are currently working at 3AW9 Radio as the digital content producer. There is no typical day in this industry, but can you try and give us a typical day?
Yeah, so midweek. So it probably separates from the weekend to weekdays.
You can give us both.
Yeah, so week. Obviously, I'd like to prioritise footy more, but during the week, obviously, we've got our massive shows. So we've got mornings with Tom Elliott, afternoons with Tony Moclair, and drive with Jackie Felgate, who's obviously very, very well known. So yeah, during that shift, obviously, it's not really footy. It's not footy at all. So that really changed my mind in terms of when I joined 3AW, I had to start really taking in what was going on in the news, politics-wise, not just the basic level. So, yeah, so if I'm working, this week I'm working 11 to 7. So I start at 11. I've got someone handing over some content from the show. So they might have had a guest on, or we have some very good guests on, whether it's the premiere or, which is crazy. You've seen them with their bodyguard. It's like, what the hell's going on? But, yeah, so pretend it's like 11 to 7 shift, so you're covering the morning show with Tom Elliott, which is very good. He's very opinionated, so we're trying to make sure we get a lot out of him and his opinions because they're very, very good. Afternoons is a lighter show, so it's a bit more fun. It's a lot of talk back, which I'd imagine it's very fun and laughable. And drive, it's a bit of both, a lot of talk back and Jackie's opinion. She talks a lot about youth crime, which is a massive issue at the moment, and how massive she is on social. So we try to prioritise a lot of her stuff to go on socials.
She gets things solved in 24 hours.
Oh, she is great. You should see her sometimes in the office. She's just like, you should see her messages just flying through, and then she sends the stuff to get ready for the shows.
Found, potholes filled in. Like, if you want something done in this world, send it to Jackie.
Seriously, she is amazing. And yeah, so during each of those shows, so we have a website, and we're pretty much trying to have articles that point to the audio. So it might be an interview, and then it's, you put it up on the website, have a headline, try to get people to the website, not try to be too clickbaity, but it's a little spiel on the website and then point to the audio, which is our priority, because audio players is pretty much why we have a job, pretty much. It's more of a priority than the social media, believe it or not. But yeah, so you write articles, you put social media posts up, whether it's, reels or quote graphics or all sorts of things throughout each show, and you work with the producers a lot. So I usually go and ask them, what's the priority? What would be good for socials? Even Jackie, asking her, because she's obviously the social media queen at the moment. But yeah, it's busy. It's busy, but the workload's good. Like, it's not over, we're not overworked. And then on from 6 to 7 each night, we have Wild World of Sports with Jimmy Bartels. So he often has good guests. Obviously, he's a massive name in the AFL scene. So if he has something to say, or sometimes you might have Tony Shaw, which is fantastic. With Goodwin last night, they had Michael Gleeson, one of the AFL journalists, well-known journalists, come on and have his take on whether the Goodwin sacking has something to do with Carlton as well and their decisions. So, yeah, it changes every day, the priorities, but I think it's based on what's really trending at the moment, and what's trending at the moment is the protests and youth crime.
You mentioned clickbait. I want to get your views on clickbait, because I think there's actually an interesting, everyone thinks it's terrible and hates it, and obviously there's a line. We don't want to go down the Daily Mail route and things like that. I don't ever want a job there, so I think I can say that. But I think many people don't know that it is a vital part of us having jobs in the industry, because the reality is, if people don't click on those articles, we're not employed. And there is that many articles out there that you need a line that gets people to click. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, we have a line. We definitely have a line.
Definitely have a line.
Especially with footy, with everything. You are right. You've got to have the headline's probably the most important part of our little articles and our little spiels on our website, because we need traffic driven to that page and the audio clicks. So yeah, I've learned a lot starting at AW, I think I was kind of avoiding the clickbait because I didn't want to get the, you know, the backlash on social media comments. But I've got to the stage now where I've got to that, you know, medium.
Happy medium.
Yeah. Where, you know, I think I did an article yesterday. We had Caro come on about Goodwin and who she thinks will be the coach. So you kind of add a bit of speculation to the headline, like who Caroline Wilson thinks will be the next coach of Melbourne, which was the headline. And, you know,
I'm clicking on that.
Yeah, exactly right. And it did pretty well. So it's something that I've learnt and kind of tinkered with and asked, you know, my boss Lawrence, and how can I get better at that? How can I get more traffic to there without being over the top? So, yeah, it's a fine line, clickbait.
When we all study sports media, sports business, we have a dream to work in the sports industry specifically. But as you touched on, it doesn't always work out that you're working predominantly in sports. Sometimes there's a range of things here and there. Has your view on that changed? And what's your advice to anyone listening that's like, sport?
Yeah, well, when I first got the phone call at AW, as I touched on before, Lawrence, like, you know, obviously we've got the footy, and I was like, oh, sweet, this is going to be fantastic. You know, I'm going midweek footy, this will be great. And then he started talking about the general news stuff, and I was a bit like, oh, like it's a bit
fish out of water.
Yeah, you're taking it back a bit. But my advice to people is just stay open with that stuff. You know, you might not have the ideal, you might not be covering footy every single day, but it goes a long way in your career. If I said no and I want to focus on footy, it might have been harder for me to find a job.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have one.
No, seriously. I wouldn't be talking about me having all these great experiences because, I was a little bit worried. I was like, oh, am I going to be good enough for this? But you learn. It's the same thing as uni. You learn things. You know, whether it's, you know, Tom's show where he's talking about politics and I go, who is this person? Who is he talking to? This, you know, might be the defence minister, which is crazy for 5 years ago, Ethan, to think about. But now I know it's Richard Marles.
Those law classes are coming in handy.
Yeah, exactly right. It's like, it's craziness because I remember in year 11, I'm like, I don't need to know who these people are. I want to work in sports media. But yeah, just to be open about that stuff because there's plenty of roles in general news as well as sport.
That little kid that wanted to work in this industry that would open up Photoshop and make some graphics. What keeps you motivated? Because when we work in the industry and we go to work day to day, sometimes it can become work. But how do you remind yourself of that little kid that all he dreamed of was to be in your position right now?
Yeah, I think the big thing for me is soaking it in every time, like just every single time, just having a breath. It sounds ridiculous, but like when I'm at the G working or at Marvel working, like getting paid at the football is just crazy. If you told me 10 years ago, I'd be going, yep, I'm doing that right now. But just sitting there and, you know, last year was a big pinch me moment working at the prelim final. I think it was Geelong, Brisbane, which was a crazy, you know, final. It was 90,000 and crowd was roaring and being amongst the Brisbane celebrations in that room going, that's like, this is amazing. And I have a lot of friends speak about it like, Daff, what are you, like, how are you in the rooms? And my mum, obviously a big football fan, my dad is as well. And they always take photos of me if I'm behind roaming Brian or in the rooms. A lot of mates see it. And when people externally kind of go, oh, this is fantastic, then I start to think, oh, I need to really be soaking in this moment more. So yeah, that's my kind of advice. Just soak it in because it's amazing.
Is that the best piece of advice you've received? Just soak it in?
Yeah. And, you know, another piece of advice for me is just, you know, putting your foot in the door. Doesn't matter where it is. Like, oh, I started out at a local sports media company at Gameface in Dandenong. So I live in the city. It's a bit of a trek. And, you know, I just put myself out there. Sarah Radlow from Holmes Glen worked there. So she was like, oh, do you want to have a chat with Glenn, the boss? And then I got a gig there and it kind of just helped my experience along the road. So just putting yourself out there, doesn't matter if it's a small company, doesn't matter if it's one guy who wants you to be on a podcast, just do it.
What's next for Ethan Daffy? Where do you want to go? What's the dream?
Oh, there's a lot of outcomes. I really love my job at the moment. Of course, I'm more part-time at the moment, so I want to gradually get into full-time. I'm sure we all do, but yeah, I'm enjoying it at the moment. I really like the digital content space, so the social media, as I touch on the graphic design, but now I've kind of got my skills better in video and want to push myself into that a little bit more. So yeah, the digital content side of things is something I really want to get into because there's just something about, you know, posting something that's breaking news, or on the weekend we had something go off with Caro talking about the free-to-air situation.
What a kerfuffle that
is.
Yeah,
that was crazy. And it got like 150K and that kind of went like, oh, I love doing that kind of stuff. Like, so yeah.
Do you listen to something, say Caro Speaks or another host, and you're like, that's it, that's going to go well on socials?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's certain people, you know, I know Sam McClure is a very dividing journalist, but that's his job. That's his job, and he works on Friday nights. And a few weeks ago, before the Silvani stuff really came to fruition, he spoke about it going, it's getting closer. Before, and no one really believed him. And I did a video on it before, and then now look at it. He's meeting with all these clubs. So, yeah, it's like I said, with the priority. You got to prioritise certain content, and, you know, when those people are saying those things, that's the first point of call. That's what I'm writing up. That's what I'm doing. So, yeah, it is, especially with Caro, she's got a lot of gems in an hour show on a Saturday.
I love that you mentioned that's their job. They're a journalist. I work very loosely with Kane at my job, and people always say to me when they find out I work at SEN, the first thing they say is, what's Kane Corns really like? Yeah. I'm like, a human. Like, it's just his job to say crazy things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm glad you touched on that. You also mentioned that, you know, you're wanting to do more social media posts.
Mm.
What's your favourite post that you've posted over the years? Is there one that's on the top of your head? It could be from your personal pages. It could be from work.
Yeah, there's been a few. Last year, there was a rumour with Dustin Martin going to Gold Coast. So this, I was at AW at the time, and I was actually at home. I wasn't working. And I was like, the news came up, and I'm meeting my boss, and I go, I really want to do a graphic right now and do it right now before anyone else does it. And I just posted it out. It got like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of views. That's one that kind of sticks out to me. But, you know, there's heaps of content, especially at AW. The special thing is we've got great talent, both football-wise and general news-wise. Like we've had Jackie, I think one of my videos had a 700K. And that was her talking about youth crime. And it's because of her. Like, it's because of how well she covers it. But also, you know, like, it's being able to put together a good video. And I'll tell you what, the satisfaction, I know people have a go at influencers and all that type of thing, but the satisfaction when it just blows up is crazy. There was one on the weekend which was huge, and it was actually a sponsored post, which makes it even better for me. A bit of a pat on the back for myself. But it was Caro talking about the free-to-air, and that got very good reception because she's, once again, a very divisive journalist because she speaks her mind. But she spoke about, you know, the people missing out on the Collingwood-Brisbane game on Saturday night, so which is massive. Like, I feel bad for people who, you know, can't afford free-to-air, and she said it on air, and I'm going, I need to prioritise this, and it just went bang on socials, and, yeah, it was fantastic.
You touched on Jackie's personal brand, and I didn't think we'd go in this direction, but I want to grab you on this because I think it's really interesting, and I know Davin is really big on it with the students that, you know, you might not want to be, and influencer's a weird word, not many people in the industry we want to go down wants to be an influencer as such, but how important do you think personal brand is and getting your name out there, if it's on your personal Instagram, on LinkedIn, I'm a big fan of LinkedIn, just here, there and everywhere, just to put yourself out there.
Oh, it's enormous. Like LinkedIn, like you said, is enormous. That's been huge for me. But yeah, like you look at Jackie, that's the opportunity. She's like, obviously she was on Channel 7 prior, so she's obviously talented in that space. But it's definitely, I think that's definitely opened up her spot in the drive slot for us. So I think we had someone else on the drive slot and no one, they didn't know who was going to take it. And she took the opportunity on because of her great following and how she covers local news stories and bigger stories. So yeah, she's fantastic. And the connection she has, the guests she gets on to her show, she helps the producers, almost does the job for them. Sometimes I don't want to give them no credit, but yeah, like it is fantastic. But in terms of my personal kind of situation and that, LinkedIn is enormous. I think that's why I have the job at AW, because I didn't have Lawrence's phone number. My phone number was on LinkedIn, otherwise, unless he got it from someone else. But yeah, it is huge. I've always had a, you know, personal Instagram page with EDAF Media, which I've had certain things on, posted certain things, whether it's photography at Carlton trainings or whatever. Just doing that kind of stuff is massive, because you only need one person to go, that guy has got something about him, or I like what he does, I like his consistency, I like what pages he has, and the experience he has. So yeah, like you said, LinkedIn, I tell everyone to have LinkedIn. I actually told Jackie Reed to get LinkedIn. She didn't know what it was.
Do you know how gobsmacked I've been with the amount of people I work with that say, I don't have LinkedIn. I think it must be a young people. Like, we must just be setting the charge to get LinkedIn. All the people that have been in the industry for quite some time, they're not on the LinkedIn bandwagon.
It's crazy. And if they are on it, they've got no profile picture. You know, they've got like
no profile picture, just their name and yeah. maybe like one line journalist.
Yeah. So what does that achieve? But yeah, I have told a lot of the colleagues because at AW we're next to the newsroom. So if you ever listen to AW on the hour, there's a 7-minute news. Actually, they're all near me and none of them really have LinkedIn. I was like trying to look for them on LinkedIn to try and get connections. They're not helping me out here. But yeah, I do recommend it highly to anyone, students.
You've given us some incredible advice and some incredible tidbits today, Ethan. If someone's listening and wants to be in your position, they want your job, what should they be doing right now to help them get there?
I think trying everything, whether it's video editing, photo editing, writing, anything. And try to, before you get into the industry, create your own page. Have your own podcast where there's not as much pressure as a job. I'm sure you know there's external pressure where you've got bosses and people telling you what to do. So that's a massive thing. Just put yourself out there. Just do it. Just do it.
Just do it. Just do it.
Like the whole Nike slogan. No,
don't
copyright.
Sue us, Nike.
Yeah, no, but that's all it is. That's all it is for me. Like that's why I'm in the position I am. It's hard sometimes to put yourself out there, and people might be, you know, imposter syndrome, and I don't want to put myself out there. I don't want to be embarrassed in front of my friends. Just do it. Who cares? You know, people, you know, might have had a bit of a laugh at me, you know, mates between going, oh, you know.
They're not laughing anymore.
With baggers chat and stuff. And now that's grown to a level really well. So it turned into a uni project. Now we're still doing it at, you know, 23 years old.
I love when you can just make something a little uni project. Yeah. I was the queen of that. I'm going to finish every interview, every guest with one word. Can you describe your journey so far in one word?
Oh, I'd say scintillating.
It's, love it.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster. There's always going to be downs as well, but it's just been, you know, from uni, having the hands-on experience, meeting the lecturers, meeting the guests we've had, whether it's on Zoom where we had COVID in the first year, you know, it's just simply fantastic and scintillating, as I said. And, you know, I just love it. Every day I go to work doesn't feel like work. That's always been a dream of mine. And obviously it's work still. You still got to do something, but it's definitely easier.
I love that. Thank you so much for your time, Ethan. You have been an incredible first guest up. Tell the viewers where they can find you. Plug all your Instagram accounts. Off you go.
There's a few. Baggers Chat. Mitch, who's a former student here, is on that. We're going pretty well on that. So Baggers Chat on YouTube. 3AW Football is our page. 3AW693 is our other page. So I'm sure my boss will be happy with that and hopefully give me a pay rise for it.
Thank you, Ethan.
No worries at all.
You've been listening to The Grad Perspective, where we dive into the real journeys of Homesland Bachelor of Sports Media and Business graduates. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at thegradperspective.pod and share the podcast with a friend. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, with another fabulous guest.